السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Verily all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our deeds. Indeed, whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide him. And whomever He misguides, none can guide him back to the straight path. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity, there is no object that is worthy of our worship, our veneration, our love, our hope, our fear, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness and I testify that Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Arabi al-Qurashi is the final messenger and the most perfect of all prophets and the paragon of virtue and the best role model, the only role model that we have as Muslims. As to what follows, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with a physical body and a spiritual soul. There is no human being, nay, there is no animal, except that it is composed of two parts, the physical and the spiritual. The physical part of our body, known in the Arabic as the jasad, is made, as we all know, from earth, from clay. And the spiritual part, known in the Arabic as the ruh, is made from something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. It is something that Allah bestowed in Adam, وَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, that Allah blowed into Adam of His spirit. And as for this ruh, we do not know what it is, as Allah says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about the ruh. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say, the spirit is from the command and from the matter of my Lord, and you have no knowledge except for a very little bit. But we do know that the jasad is from this earth, and the ruh is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we know. Therefore, in order to live a healthy life, we have to sustain our existence. We have to sustain the jasad along with the ruh. The sustenance of the body comes from that which the body came from, which is the earth. So the sustenance of the body comes from the earth from which the body was created. Therefore, we have to eat and drink from this earth. The fruits come from this earth. The water flows on this earth and rains onto this earth. When we eat and drink from the produce of this earth, we replenish our physical body that was created from this earth. And this is something that every human being has to do in order to live. But my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when we provide for the jasad and neglect the ruh, then we live a partial life. We live a life that will not be a full life. And if we continue to neglect the ruh, then this ruh withers away and it becomes weaker and weaker until the ruh might actually die a spiritual death, even though the body is still living a physical life. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran, that give the example of the one who was dead. أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا. Give the example of the one who was dead. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. We brought him back to life. The reference here, as the scholars of tafsir say, is not to somebody who physically died and Allah commanded him to be resurrected again from the dead. No, the reference here is to somebody who was not spiritually alive, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them that spiritual life. So Allah called the one who was spiritually dead, He called him dead, even though the person in our lives is eating and drinking and has to have a physical life. But when he didn't have a spiritual life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to him as dead. So the question arises, brothers and sisters, we all know that in order to live a physical life, we need to sustain that life from the physical elements, from eating and drinking and from the air that exists around us. But the question is, if we want to have a spiritual life, what do we need in order to sustain the spirit within us? What is the nourishment of the soul? Where does the soul get its energy, its zeal, its enthusiasm from? Well, just like the body gets its nutrients from that which the body came from, which is this earth, similarly, the soul must get its nutrients from that which the soul came from, and that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we wish to have a spiritual life, if we wish to replenish our soul, our ruh, we must do so from things that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from remembering Him, from worshipping Him, from reading the Qur'an, from doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. having a connection with Allah. If we wish to have a full life in this earth, then we must give life to our body and also give life to our soul. If we don't do so, then we are always going to live a partial life. In fact, spiritually, we will be dead. Brothers and sisters, there's a phenomenon around us that we all know from our daily lives. And that is that no matter how much we satisfy our body, inside of us there's always a hunger. There's always a yearning and a thirst that is never satisfied, no matter what we do of this life. We can try to numb our senses through the halal and through the haram. We can try to get involved in every single physical pleasure there is. And that is what many amongst mankind does. But inside of us, there's always a desire for more. And that is why the average human being always has inside of him or her the desire to feel productive, to feel useful, to do something good. And no matter what they do in terms of the aspects of this world, be it eating and drinking, haram or halal, be it socializing, haram or halal, all that we do does not get to the hunger, the spiritual hunger that every single human being feels. Only when we infuse our life with the relationship with Allah, only when we establish a direct contact with Allah, and this contact is done by many means, be it the Quran, be it dhikr, be it remembering Him, be it doing a good deed to our fellow man, which is included in being a good Muslim. Only when we do so, do we feel the sweetness of a spiritual life as well. And all of us have experienced this. When we do a good deed, any good deed, be it praying Fajr on time, or reading the Quran, or being good to our fellow human beings, when we do that deed, inside of us we feel alive, we feel good. We feel, yes, I've done something. And that feeling that we've just experienced, it cannot be purchased with money. It cannot be obtained by any type of eating or drinking, by any type of socialization, by any type of physical, tangible good that we do. It can only be obtained through spiritual good. And this is the whole point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes when He says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Verily, only through the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find tranquility. Only through the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find tranquility. All the hearts of all human beings are searching for this goal of tranquility and peace. And that is why we do what we do today. Most of us have this idea that, yes, we want to be happy, but the question is how? Most of us feel that material possessions bring about happiness. And that is why we're studying engineering, medicine, law, whatever we're studying. We want to get that degree in order to get that job, in order to get that money that will bring about this happiness that we so desire. And in the process, we think that other things will bring happiness. Whether it be different types of food and drinks, halal and haram. Whether it be different types of socializations, halal and haram. We try to obtain happiness. And there is no denying the fact that there is some happiness obtained from all that we do. Halal and haram. Even the haram, there is some happiness obtained. That's why we do it. Why do we do the haram? Because we get some pleasure out of it. Whether it be drinking, or whether it be drugs, whether it be socializing with the opposite gender to a level that is not allowed. All of this, no doubt, it brings about a little bit of happiness. That's why we do it. But then what happens after that? What happens after we do these deeds? These deeds are followed by a feeling of guilt, a feeling of remorse, a feeling of filth, a type of filth that does not wash away when you take a bath. You feel bad for what you've done, because you might have fed the body, but you've neglected the soul in the process. You might have done something that makes the body feel good, But you've neglected that which is more important, that which makes us human. What makes us really and truly the prized creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is the combination of the body and the soul and the intellect. This has not been given to any other creature. So when we take care of the body at the expense of the soul, in reality, that will bring about more harm than good. And when we take care of the soul, it will never be at the expense of the body. When we take care of the soul through its spiritual needs, it will only bring about good in this world and good in the hereafter. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you don't need evidences for this. I don't need to quote you verses of the Quran or famous philosophers or famous theologians. I don't need to quote you a hadith. You know why? Because we experience this every day of our life. We live it. We've tasted it. We all know how we feel when we do a good deed. We all know the feeling of pleasure and joy, of productivity that is infused in our life. What happens when we read the Quran? We just decide, I want to read the Quran for 10, 20, 30 minutes. When we close that book of Allah, after reciting the speech of Allah, how do you feel? We all know it. And let me ask you, that feeling that you feel, is that a feeling that you can get in any other way? Can money buy this feeling for you? Can socializing, can eating and drinking, can any physical thing buy the feeling that you have at the end of a long and hard day of fasting in Ramadan? When you break your fast, you feel, I've done something. The feeling that you have when you read the prayers on time, you wake up for Fajr all alone, nobody knows you're awake, and you pray those two raka'at, total sincerity to Allah, nobody's watching you. For the rest of the day, you're infused with an energy, not a physical energy, more energy than your breakfast will give you, energy that is a spiritual energy. So I don't need to quote you ayat and hadith. Conversely, when we do a sin, when we drink, when we, a'udhu billah, you know, do things with the opposite gender, take drugs, when we leave the prayer, which is a major sin in and of itself, how do we feel? We feel dirty. Really and truly we feel it. Nobody's putting it in our heart. This is, we feel it. Our soul feels neglected. Our soul is withering away. We are strangling the soul. And the soul is crying out to us from within our bodies. What are you doing? I don't want you to do this. And we try to numb that through other ways. And for many, a'udhu billah, we seek Allah's refuge. For many, it becomes an infinite cycle that when the soul is hungry, you just try to feed the body so that the soul forgets its hunger. But we forget that no matter how you feed the body, it will not take away the hunger of the soul. Verily, every human soul longs, yearns, thirsts for a relationship with the divine. It thirsts for it. And that is why until you establish that relationship, you will never ever achieve total happiness. Conversely, if you do everything that you want for the body, also you will never achieve total happiness. Look around you. Wisen up, brothers and sisters. You are now intelligent young men and women. Look around you. Do you really think that you can purchase happiness in this world through the physical things of this world? Do you think degrees and status, do you think fame and fortune, do you think satisfying one's sensual and base desires brings about happiness? Surely every one of you sitting here has seen through the fallacy, the shallowness of such a superficial and materialistic way of thinking. No doubt there are many amongst men who still think this way. And we see them all the time. We see the power in their eyes. We see they want to become rich, to become famous. And through that, they think they will establish their happiness. But surely all of us sitting here know the reality is other than this. Look around you. The richest in the world are not the happiest. Once you have the possessions that they have, how long are you going to enjoy those possessions? How long will you be distracted by the fancy houses and the fancy cars and the private jet planes and the yachts and whatever they might be? How long do you think that this will bring about pleasure? Yes, once or twice you like it, you enjoy it. That is why we all like doing some things which might be even against our religion. We like doing them because they bring about a little bit of joy. But it doesn't satisfy that inner thirst, that inner quenching that Allah created in us via the ruh. We know this. So when we know it, then why do we not pay heed to this hunger? As Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّوَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمُ O mankind, why are you deceived about Allah, your ever generous? What has been the cause of this barrier between you and Allah? أَلَمْ يَأْنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has not the time come, O people, Allah says in the Quran, has not the time come that your hearts soften to the remembrance of Allah? Why are we so stubborn, so hard-hearted? Why are we always refusing the truth when it is in our face and we know it is the truth? Brothers and sisters, true happiness only comes about when we have a relationship with Allah. When we have this relationship, the world, what we have and what we don't have, will bring pleasures to us. Whatever we have of this world, we will be happy because we have a relationship with Allah. That is the real happiness. And you know what? All of you have met people. All of you know people who have this happiness. Those people that we call spiritual. Those people that we might derogatorily call, you know, oh, this guy's too religious, he's too conservative, he's too practicing. And we try to say that in order to just cover up the guilt we feel ourselves when we see those people. Because when we meet those people, we see coming from them a serenity, a peace that wallahi we know we feel guilty about. We want to have it. We're jealous of it. And we know the way to do so. It's not as if this person was born with that spirituality in his life. No. All he did, or all she did, was to establish a relationship with Allah. That's all. With that relationship, his or her entire life changed for the better. We know it. But we, for some reason that really and truly Allah even asks us why. فَمَا لَهُمْ عَنِ التَّذْكِرَةِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Why do they turn away from the remembrance over and over again? كَأَنَّهُمْ حُمُرٌ مُسْتَنْفِرَةٌ. Look at how Allah called people who turn away from His message as if they are wild asses and donkeys. This is how Allah called people. You're being called to good and you turn your back and flee? What is the excuse? Brothers and sisters in Islam, really and truly, we are all intelligent young Muslims sitting here. Let us realize that life is more than just our education and degree. Life is more than just establishing friends and socializing. Life is a test from Allah to see who does good and who does evil. And no doubt there are many responsibilities and obligations to our fellow human beings. Let us not trivialize those. Our parents have rights over us. Our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, our fellow human beings of all religions have rights over us. But the greatest right, far more important than the right of any human being, is the right of the one who created us and made us humans. And that is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not forget that right. And when we fulfill that obligation and right, then and only then, will we find this peace and serenity of the body and of the soul. Barakallahu wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-Azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah has not placed any difficulty in your religion. And Allah says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants to make things easy for you. Allah doesn't want to make things difficult. And Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah wants to lift the obligations from you as much as possible. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have to realize that our religion is very simple and easy. And it is. No complicated mumbo-jumbo, no superstitions, no deep Trinity secrets that nobody can understand. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Our theology is crystal clear. Our acts of worship make perfect sense. Our legal system and code is something that we all realize brings about good in this world and the hereafter. Let us make this our priority. Let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and foremost, have an intention in your heart to be a good Muslim. And this intention brings about a dramatic change in your life. Secondly, realize that in order to be a good Muslim, you have to give three rights. The rights of Allah, and the rights of the creation, and the rights of yourself. Three rights have to be fulfilled. The rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created you. No one has more rights over you than Allah does. And of His rights is that you worship Him alone. And don't turn to any other being for supernatural help and worship. Only Allah is worthy of our du'as, our prayers, our prostration and our sacrifice. And realize that the greatest act of worship is the salah. When we establish the salah in our lives, it brings about a connection a daily, a regular connection with Allah. If you want to see how good of a Muslim you are, all you need to do is look at your prayer. See how much you're praying, how often you're praying, the timings of your prayer, and the quality of your prayer. And realize that the prayer itself many times has been overcomplicated by our cultures. Realize that the prayer is composed of the fard and the sunnah and the nafil. If we're in the habit of not praying five times a day, which is a very bad habit and a major sin, let us start the habit of praying, but let's not take it all on our shoulders at once. Start with the fard. The fard, 2 rak'at for fajr, 4 rak'at for dhuhr and asr, 3 rak'at for maghrib, and 4 rak'at for isha. Stick with the fard. And we all know there's a beginning and end time. It's not as if exactly at 6.05 a.m. we have to pray. No, there are timings, and the sheets are available everywhere. In this room, on the internet, we all have access to them. Put them in your dorms. Look at the timings and put your schedule around them. Surely, brothers and sisters, when you have time to do every single thing you desire to do, from surfing the net and socializing and playing some basketball and watching movies, surely you have 5 minutes a day for those 2 rak'ats and 3 rak'ats and 4 rak'ats. Surely you can squeeze in this into your life. And when you do so, I ask you, for yourselves, not for me, for anyone, I ask you to see that change that happens in your life. When you stand up in front of Allah and you say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, you alone do we worship. When you bow down to Allah and you prostrate to Allah, when you lower your most noble limb and your most respected organ, which is the face, and especially the forehead, you put it in the dust, and you say, oh Allah, only you are worthy that I do this to. That will bring about in your life a sense of peace and tranquility, a sense of purposefulness, a sense of usefulness that nothing else can bring about. And when you do this regularly, it will change your goals, it will change your reality, it will change your existence for the better. All of a sudden, you will become that person whom you used to feel jealous of and also try to make fun of on the sly. You will become that person wherever you go. Serenity and peace will exude from you. People will feel that from you because that iman has now been infused into your lives. Muslims, realize our ultimate goal, our only goal, is the worship of Allah. Everything else in this life, alhamdulillah, is halal. As Allah says, who has prohibited the good of this world? Good food is halal, good clothes is halal, good companionship is halal. Each one, of course, has its limits, and you all know these limits. But apart from that, everything is halal. Go and enjoy this life. Go and enjoy this world. But when you do so, always realize that there is a greater goal in life than all that you see around us. And that is the worship of Allah. So the first thing that we have to do is establish that relationship with Allah. And that is primarily and firstly done through the 5 prayers. And then the other acts as well that you all know. And then establish the relationship with our fellow human beings. Specifically, our parents. Nobody has a right over us like our parents do. And that is the topic of another khutbah. But the minimum we should do, the minimum, is to keep regular contact with them and show them we care. Call them up and write letters to them and know them. Tell them how much we love them and appreciate all that they've done. And that is another topic in and of itself. But let me tell you one thing, and mark my words, brothers and sisters. I swear by Allah, you will never, ever appreciate what your parents have done for you until you become a parent and have your own kids and start taking care of them. And then everything will come into place, and you won't need any Quran and Sunnah. You won't need any hadith and verses to realize what a poor son or daughter you were when you realize what you're doing for your kid, and you realize your kid might do exactly what you did to your own parents when you were a teenager. Just remember this. You're never going to appreciate that until your own time comes. Apart from your parents, of course, your relatives, all the other relatives you have and your fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, all of this is simple stuff, you know it. And then, of course, the rights to yourself, which means you have to have a purpose of life. You have to think, what am I doing here? Why am I existing? Why did Allah create me? Take care of your body and take care of your soul. Use what Allah has given you to come closer to Him and also to bring about good and peace in this world and the hereafter. These are the 3 obligations that we all have. Obligations upon Allah, obligations to our fellow human beings, and obligations to ourselves. Each one has its place and priority, and each one is a topic of many other khutbas. But until we do this in the proper order, we can wander around this world. We can taste of all of the fruits, forbidden and allowed. We can do everything in the book that humanly is possible. But until we satisfy the soul, until we satisfy that thirst and quench within us, our lives will be in total waste and vain. And we will always feel that feeling of not having accomplished anything productive. We will always feel empty within us, because the emptiness of the soul can only be satisfied from the origin of the soul, and that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Verily realize that only through the remembrance of Allah, the connection of Allah to the hearts, find their tranquility. اللهم إني داعٍ فأمنه اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم ارحمنا واعف عنا وعافنا واغفر لنا. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. عباد الله، عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.